Welcome to Thousand Hills Ranch Church. We're excited for you to hear this message, and we hope it blesses your life.
Today, I want to start a series entitled The Legend. The Legend. Part one is where I want to start today. When you think about the word legend, I don't know what you think about, but I think about like two or three definitions. I'll give you a few of these. The first is a legend is like a story, you know, a story that people tell. They're like, you know, I shot a deer and it was non-typical and it was 32 points. Right. Anybody ever been there? Again, I pick on fishermen because I have fishermen friends. You know, we caught this fish and it was this big, weighed 42 pounds. Right? Legends. I don't know if you've ever been to southeastern Oklahoma, but legend has it Bigfoot lives in southeastern Oklahoma. I don't know what that says about the people there, but anyways, they live in the woods. If you've ever been there, they live in the woods, but that's a legend, right? There are legends that, you know, we grew up going to Lake Eufaula, and there were legends that there were catfish as big as cars in Lake Eufaula. How the heck do you get a little kid into the water when you tell them that, right? And so those are legends. They're unverifiable, they're unauthenticated, but they're still great stories that, you know, people tell. Another definition of a legend is a person, right? Like a famous person. A few examples, you know, like this guy is a legend in the world of snipers. Remember who Chris Kyle was? He was known as the legend in the world of, you know, war. And he was a great American who served our country. He was known as a legend. To the world, John Wayne is an American legend, right? I got one clap. John Wayne, the American legend. I'll give you another one. Evangelist Billy Graham, right? The greatest evangelist ever to live, right? He's 99 years old and he is a living legend. And so that's another definition. The last definition that I'll give you is a legend is something that you see on a map. Now, I know many of you kids have never seen a map. I mean, and none of you know when I say the words Rand McNally. You're like, Rand who? Rand McNally maps. Remember those back in the day when you actually had to open up something and, you know, get a map, and we didn't have MapQuest or Siri, and Siri didn't get us lost when we typed in an address or whatever. You know, we actually had a map. Well, on a map, there's a thing called a legend, and it's a little box that, you know, that kind of explains the symbols that are on a map. If it's a blue line, it means that it's the river. If it's a dotted line, it means that it's a railroad, and so on and so forth. Well, here's what I want to get at. Today, I want to start this series, and I want to teach a message about the legend of Christmas. The legend of Christmas. Is it a tall tale, or is it a true story? Now, let's be real. We live in America, and a lot of times when we live in America, we kind of Americanize stories that may or may not be true. I'm going to burst a bubble for a few of you guys today by telling you some of the truths about Scripture, some of the truths about the Christmas story. But oftentimes, the Christmas story in America goes something like this, right? It's about 2,000 years ago, the evening of December 25th, Mary rides into Bethlehem on a donkey, right? Urgently needing to deliver a baby, or her baby. Although it's an emergency, all the innkeepers turn them away. So they deliver the baby in a stable. And the angels sing and the shepherds, you know, sing together. And afterwards, there are, you know, they are joined with three kings with camels and worshiping the quiet newborn. Yeah. And so you guys are thinking, well, what's wrong with that story? Well, I want to, again, if I had a balloon and I could, you know, probably like poke a needle in it and go, pssst, I want to share with you some of the things that I learned about the Christmas story, okay? I've actually been to Bethlehem. I was in Israel for 10 weeks. Anybody else been to Israel before? Yeah, a few people have been to Israel. It was the greatest experience, you know, vacation. It wasn't a vacation. I was a missionary overseas, and I lived in Jerusalem, and I got to go to all the places you read about in the Bible. I've river rafted down the Jordan River. I've climbed the Mount of Olives. I've seen the Via Dolorosa. I've been to Masada. I climbed Masada where the Romans, you know, conquered, you know, people there, and they all committed suicide because they didn't want to fall into the hands of the Romans. I've climbed it. I've been to the Dead Sea. I've been to, you know, where the Garden of Gethsemane is. I've seen all these places. And some of the things that we think about when we think about the Christmas story Again, they may be somewhat of a legend. Well, I'll give you a few examples. Jesus being born on December 25th. Kind of a legend. It could be. I mean, it's possible that that could have been the date that he was born, but it's probably more than likely that he was born in the fall, maybe in September or around that area. And you say, well, how do you know? I mean, and again, this stuff's debated all throughout, you know, history or whatever. You say, how do you know? Well, one of the indications that we have is in Luke chapter 2, the Christmas story, verse 8, it says this. It says, that night, there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flock. Flocks of sheep. Well, here's what we know about December in Bethlehem. It can get chilly. It can drop below zero. And most of the time when it's December, unlike in our, you know, in Northwest Oklahoma, most of the time the grass is dead and it's not green and it doesn't give off any nutrients. So it's for the shepherds to be out in the pastures in the middle of December, below freezing with their animals, probably isn't factual. You're welcome. So again, most of the time they would have brought their sheep in, put them in the corral, and kept them safe and out of the weather. So December 25th, I mean, again, the history says that the Roman Catholics probably set that date in light of there was a festival that was going on that the pagans put on, and they said, well, we're going to one up the pagans, and so we're going to make December 25th, as soon as that festival's over, the day that we celebrate Jesus. And it's awesome. I mean, again, these are things that are still awesome, but some of this may be legend. I'll give you another one. Tradition says that Mary rode into Bethlehem on a donkey. Probably possible, but not factual. I mean, read the Bible, and you're probably not going to read that she came in on a donkey. The Bible says that she came with Joseph to Bethlehem. Again, you're welcome. Tradition says that Jesus was born in a stable or a barn. Well, I've been to Bethlehem, and obviously it's changed since these days. But the history or the, you know, the, again, the climate in the area that they lived in and the culture that they lived in would probably lend itself to having Jesus being born in the downstairs room of a two-story house or inn, right? So in that culture, what they did is the people slept in the top story, and at night they would bring in their animals and they would house them in the main room of the downstairs of their home. And so it could have been, again, this is debatable. I mean, it could have been that probably not a wooden barn, probably not even a wooden manger, probably more of a rock kind of a manger where Jesus was laid after he was born. It could have been a cave that, you know, a lot of times they'll dig a cave out of the wall, or there'll be a cave naturally there that'll be attached to the house, and that's where they kept their animals as well. So again, born in a stable, maybe, but probably a little bit of a legend on our part. I'll give you a couple more since you guys are so enjoying these. We sing about three kings that came riding on camels, traveling to see the baby Jesus. Well, the Bible never mentions three kings. It actually mentions magi, and the word magi, it's obviously plural, right? It's plural, so there was probably more than one magi, but a magi was a wise man coming from the east, right? And the Bible never said, you know, that there was three. We kind of assume that because they brought what? Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. But it could have been 10. There could have been 10 magi. Another thing about the magi is, you know, the wise men probably visited Jesus up to 2 years after he was born. A lot of people, again, we think, you know, the magi showed up right with the shepherds, and the shepherds and them sang together, and they worshiped Jesus while he was still in the manger. Probably not. And you say, well, how do you know that? Well, King Herod, remember King Herod? Guess what he wanted to do? He heard there was a Messiah from the Magi, and so guess what he said? He said, I want to kill every child, how many ages and under? Two. 2 years and under. Why would he say 2 years if this baby was born yesterday, right? And so, again, you can debate all this, but it was probably anywhere from 2 years after Jesus was born that the Magi came and they visited Jesus. He was in a different town, living in a different area. So those are some of the things that I've, you know, learned that may be somewhat legend, maybe, again, maybe true. At the end of the day, it really doesn't matter, and I'm going to get to the main point. Another traditional song that we sing is Away in a Manger, right? How many of you guys have sang that before? Raise your hand. Come on, we've all sang it. Away in a manger, no crib for the bed. The little Lord Jesus laid down his sweet head, right? The cattle are lowing, the baby awakes, but the little Lord Jesus, no crying he makes. You know what I believe about that? That's crap. If you've had a kid, the babies cry, right? Tradition. That's what we can, you know, whatever. So anyway, so those are some of the traditions. Well, you might be thinking, well, you know, but what about the actual story of Jesus? Is the story of Jesus's birth, is it legend or is it true? Well, when it comes to the facts about Jesus, many people, including ourselves, oftentimes maybe question the story and its validity. There are some people that even question it and try to prove it to be a myth. I'll give you a few examples. In New York City, in Times Square, some atheists have purchased a billboard. I think they purchased it for $20,000. And they put some things on that billboard that, you know, obviously lend themselves to thinking that the Jesus story is a myth. And I'll show you a few of them. Show this one. This is one of them. It says, "Keep the Mary, dump the myth." That's encouraging, right? I'll give you another one, and actually, go back to the other one. Keep the Mary is the Santa one, right? And then Jesus is on the cross right there, dump the myth. That's their point. I'll give you another one, show this one. You know it's a myth. This season, celebrate reason. That's encouraging, right? Again, there are people, they'll question the truth about the story of Jesus. Now you say, well, oh man, I hate them. I mean, I don't like them. I mean, what the crap are they thinking? I mean, who could, you know, question the, you know, the story of Jesus? Here's what I want you to realize about the people that did that. Jesus Christ died on a cross for those people too. Again. So some of you are like, you know, I mean, I don't like them. I mean, screw those people. I mean, what are they doing? I mean, they're ruining Christmas, right? No, listen, our first response to people that disagree with us or that maybe question things, we should embrace it. We should enjoy it. We should walk into that conversation with love and truth and grace, being able to share the truth with them. Amen? So again, you may face people even in your own family when you go to their families for Christmas and they may not believe the story of Jesus. Listen, love them, love them, love them, serve them, serve them, serve them, show them grace, show them mercy. You have the love of Jesus in your life and that's what they need. Amen? And so take advantage of the opportunity. People are asking questions and I think they have some legitimate questions that they ask. I mean, again, if we have common sense at all, a lot of the story that we read doesn't seem reasonable. I'll read this story in Matthew chapter 1. I want you to look at it, and I want you to maybe look at some things you would think, man, that's kind of unreasonable. Look at it with me. It says, this is how Jesus, the Messiah, was born. His mother, Mary, was engaged to be married to Joseph. But before the marriage took place, while she was still a what? A virgin, she became pregnant through the power of the Holy Spirit, right? Joseph, her fiance, was a good man and did not want to disgrace her publicly, so he decided to break the engagement quietly. And as he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. Joseph, son of David, the angel said, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child within her was conceived by the Holy Spirit, and she will have a son. And you will name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All of this was according to fulfill, occurred. Why can I say that word? Accorded? What the heck is that? Occurred to fulfill the Lord's message through his prophet. Look, the virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. When Jesus woke up, or Joseph woke up, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded, and he took Mary to be his wife. But he did not have sexual relations with her until her son was born, and Joseph named him Jesus. Now, Again, you say, well, that all makes sense to me. Well, you probably learned this story as a child, and so it probably all makes sense to you. But there are a lot of people, and even you, maybe you've looked at this and you've thought, what? I mean, really? I mean, how can all this stuff happen? I mean, a virgin birth. How many of you guys have ever known anybody that was a virgin that had a baby? Anybody? Come on now. Come on, come on. Anybody? No, really? I mean, so for somebody to think that's unreasonable, I think they're okay with that question, right? I mean, the Bible, again, it said, you know, this is how Jesus was born. His mother, Mary, was engaged to be married to Joseph. But before the marriage took place, while she was still a what? A virgin, she became pregnant. I mean, again, you, I don't know. I don't know if you're the, you have, you know, all the answers and all that stuff. But I can only imagine how Joseph and Mary were made fun of. You ever thought about it? I mean, have you ever been around people that have a bunch of kids and they look at them and they go, you guys know how this works, don't you? Right? I mean, you guys, have you not figured out what causes babies? I mean, can you imagine when they went to Joseph and said, hey, Joseph, you know how this works? And he's like, no, I don't. This doesn't make sense to me. Right? I mean, the Holy Spirit, I haven't touched her. I mean, what's the deal? Again, I mean, I don't know if they got made fun of or not, but I mean, again, the virgin birth, how the heck does that happen? How does someone become impregnated by the Holy Spirit? I mean, she became pregnant through the power of the Holy Spirit. I mean, I thought that, you know, you get pregnant through, you know, natural, you know, intercourse. I mean, how does that happen? How do I get pregnant through the Holy Spirit? I mean, what in the world? I mean, again, these are unreasonable. The third one that I think may be unreasonable a little bit is an angel spoke through a dream. I mean, here's Joseph. He's like, man, what do I do? I mean, I didn't want to divorce her. We're not even married, but I'm just going to break off the engagement. I mean, what do I do? And an angel appears to him in a dream and tells him, don't worry about it. Marry anyways. Again, somewhat unreasonable. And then the last one, again, Jesus was God come to earth. I mean, how in the world? I mean, this kid's a baby. This kid has flesh on. I mean, this kid's crying all the time. He craps his pants, right? I mean, how in the world is he God? Again, I think there's some legitimate questioning that people have about the validity of the story. But a lot of people are going, man, how's this true? I mean, these things, they don't make natural sense. I mean, they're beyond natural comprehension. Well, here's the answer, and here's my main point today that I want you to get. The story of Jesus' birth isn't reasonable. It's supernatural. Right? The story of Jesus' birth, I mean, here it is. I mean, you got this story about how a virgin got pregnant by the Holy Spirit and an angel speaks. All these things, they are unreasonable. But here's the cool thing about them. It's supernatural. We serve a supernatural God. I don't know if you've ever experienced him working in your life, but maybe you've experienced it through a tragedy or something that happened to you. I mean, maybe you went through, you know, a wreck and you had a wreck and for all, you know, natural purposes, you should be dead. But you walked away from that wreck without a scratch. I mean, I've heard people's stories even this morning about, you know, how they were in a wreck and the seatbelt got cut and the person got thrown out and the car landed on them. And the only reason they lived is because the seatbelt got cut and they were thrown out of the car. Otherwise, the car was crushed from the top down. Again, supernatural, I believe so, right? How many of you guys have ever been, you know, in a situation where you couldn't afford to pay the bills and all of a sudden that check shows up? Supernatural, absolutely. How many of you guys, again, you've had a disease or you've been in a hospital bed for months and all of a sudden the doctor comes in and says, there's nothing. The cancer's gone. You've been healed. Again, unreasonable? Absolutely. Those things are unreasonable, but they are still supernatural. Many of you guys are students and you're in college and you know, you go to finals and you haven't studied and all of a sudden you show up and you sit down and the teacher goes, today's test is open book. Miracle? Supernatural? I say so. Right? I mean, again, those things are supernatural. They're unreasonable. I mean, here's what I've learned in my short life. You ready? There are some things that only make sense in light of knowing that God was a part of it. There's some things that only make sense when we realize that God is real. God is a part of it. There is something supernatural going on. And when you look at the events of your life, you look at the story of Jesus, and knowing that God is real and that his hand is in everything, we can trust in his supernatural power to work everything out and make total sense. Amen? And so this is the supernatural story of Christmas. This is a supernatural story, and it is true. I want you to hear the description of our God. Because many of you guys have been in church all your life, and if you're like me, you kind of get numb to what God, or not what God is, but who God is, and what he can do, and what he has done. And I want you to realize today that he is the God of the universe. Hear what he does, and hear what he did in creation. Listen to Isaiah 40. It says, "Who else has held the oceans in his hand?" Are you with me so far? I mean, who has measured off the heavens with his fingers? Who else knows the weight of the earth or has weighed the mountains and the hills on a scale? No, for all nations of the world are but a drop in the bucket to God. They are nothing more than dust on the scales. He picks up the whole earth as though it were a grain of sand. God sits above the circle of the earth. The people below seem like grasshoppers to him. He spreads out the heavens like a curtain and makes his tent from them. Makes his tent out of the heavens. How cool is that? Some of you guys are like, man, I wish I had a tent like that. Man, my bedroll's cold and my teepee's cold. No, he spreads out the heavens like a curtain and makes his tent from them. To whom will, you compare me? Who is my equal? Asked the Holy One. Look up into the heavens. Who created all the stars? He brings them out like an army, one after another, calling each by its name. He's given a name to every star that you see at night. Because of his great power and incomparable strength, not a single one is missing. Not a single one is missing. I don't know if that gives you God bumps, but I'm asking the Lord. Lord, renew my passion for you. Renew my allness. I don't even know if that's a word, but renew my allness of you. I want to stand in awe of you. I want to recognize you for who you are, because you are a big God. You are the God that created the world. You're the God that poured the oceans in their place. Are you with me? You're the God that took the finger, your finger, and you drew out where the countries were going to be. You drew the earth. I mean, you put the stars in their place and you named them. He knows how many, hairs are on the top of our head. He knows everything. He knows how many tears have hit your chest. He's numbered them. That is our God. And so if he can do all that, virgin birth, you better believe it's true. Getting impregnated by the Holy Spirit, absolutely. An angel talking to another human being, that's easy for God, right? And so listen, all this to say, Bo, how do you know for sure? How do you know that this is all true? Here's my answer, because I ask God, give me an opportunity to be a witness for you. Give me an opportunity to share my faith. And again, a lot of people ask questions, and that's okay. And so a lot of you may be here today, and you're like, man, how do you know it's true, Bo? I mean, do you just trust the word of God? Well, I do, but here's what else I know. I know that it's true because I've experienced him in my life, right? Again, a lot of people are like, oh, I'll debate the Bible. I mean, the Bible, it's maybe not, again, maybe a legend, maybe just a historical document, may not be true, may not be living and active. Well, here's what I've learned. People can't argue with my experience. And you say, well, what have you experienced? Well, here's what I've experienced. I was born in my mother's womb. Miracle. I've taken a breath for the last 42 years of my life. I've seen things that again are unexplainable. I've seen things like you go to the Grand Canyon, you see the Grand Canyon, you're like, what the heck? How the heck does this happen? I mean, right? I mean, you see things. I see a newborn calf laying out there in the pasture, and I think, only God could do that. Only God could create our fingerprints and every one of them be different. Only God could do that. I mean, again, all those things. I've been set free supernaturally from the sin in my life. I've been freed from the guilt of my past. I've been given eternal life in heaven. I have the hope that when I die, guess what? I'm going to spend eternity in Jesus' arms. I'm going to be able to hang out with him. We're going to be able to fish, and I'm going to be able to tell him a story and say, it was this big, Jesus. And he's going to go, bull crap, Bo. I mean, I know everything, right? You know what I'm saying? I don't know if Bigfoot, Bigfoot may be up there. I don't know if Bigfoot has a soul. But anyway, so again, we're going to be able to experience those things. I mean, I've experienced the peace that passes all understanding in the midst of the darkest times of my life. I've experienced it. I've experienced hope in a hopeless situation. I've experienced his presence working in my life. I get to experience that when I read his word and he opens up his truth to me and guides my life. I've experienced it. And my question is, have you experienced it as well? Do you know and believe that God's word is true? And so is the Christmas story possible? Is it unreasonable? It's unreasonable without a doubt. But is it possible? Yes. Through the supernatural work of God, I will bet the farm on it. Amen? And so here's my question for you. Would you bet the farm on it? I mean, what you have to ask yourself is, do I believe what Bo's talking about? I mean, here's some questions that I would have you ask. You know, is what I see, is this all really it? Is there something beyond this world? Is there a God really, or are these stories in the Bible just legend? Well, as a believer in Jesus Christ, listen, you should be able to confidently and to be able to trust in the stories of Jesus, in the Christmas story, in the stories of the Bible, because you can trust his holy word. And so here's what I know about the story of Jesus' birth. Our response should be the same as those that were in the story. I mean, think about it. Mary, an angel shows up to Mary and says, Mary, you're gonna give birth to the Savior of the world. What'd she say? I'm scared, but I trust you. Joseph says, man, I don't know what happened. I don't know how she got pregnant. Angel comes to him, and he responds with, yes, I'll do it. Jesus comes to the earth, and he's born a baby, but then he grows up, and at age of 33, God says, I'm ready for you to be crucified for the sins of the world. What did Jesus say? I don't want to do this, but not my will, but your will be done. And he said, yes, sir. Again, you say, what is my response to the Jesus story? What is my response to the true story of the Word of God? It should be the same. What do you need to say to God today? You need to say, God, I trust you. I know I'm going through this. I know I'm going through that. I know things are hard, but I trust you. I believe you to be in control. I believe you are a supernatural God and you can do supernatural things to overcome the things that I'm going through in my life. And so I trust you today. Again, what is your response to the story of Jesus? Is it a tall tale or is it a true story? I'm going to ask you to bow your head and close your eyes for just a second. Here's what I want you to realize. I know I burst the bubble of some of those things that you maybe have believed all your life, but the born in the stable, you know, kings riding camels, December 25th, none of that stuff really matters. What matters and what really counts is that we have a supernatural God that showed his supernatural power by giving us a supernatural Savior so that we might be supernaturally changed by the sacrifice that he made on the cross. And so my question to you is this. Do you know this supernatural God? Have you asked Jesus to come into your life so that you can experience the forgiveness of your sins? I hope that you have. But here's the cool thing. You can do it. It's not too late. You can do it today. many times, again, every Sunday, we offer an opportunity for you to experience Jesus Christ for the very first time. And so maybe you're here today and you've never trusted in Jesus. You've never given him your life. Listen, it's not about a prayer. It's not about the words of the prayer. It's about your heart. But God says this, and Jesus says this. He says, if you'll confess me as your Lord and Savior and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And so what do? We offer you an opportunity to do that. Can you do that anywhere? Absolutely. But we want to offer you an opportunity this morning. And here's what we do. We're not going to call you to the front. We're not going to point you out. But maybe right there in your chair, you just need to pray this prayer in your heart. Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. Jesus, I trust that you came to the earth as a baby, born God's son with flesh on. Jesus, I know that you grew up and I know that you died on the cross for my sins. And so today I'm asking you to forgive me of my sin. I believe in you. I want to make you the Lord of my life. I want you to guide me. I want you to give me hope. I want you to give me the strength to overcome the trials of my life. I trust in you. Listen, with your head bowed and your eyes closed, some of you guys just prayed that prayer for the very first time. Can I just celebrate with you? Can I just say you've made the best decision you'll ever make in your entire life? You made it in a smelly cell barn in Woodward, Oklahoma, but that decision has changed your eternity. And today you are destined from this point on to spend eternity in heaven forever. And you say, Bo, how do you know? How do you know it's true? Again, I've experienced it. I've experienced his forgiveness. And one day when I die, I'm going to experience him face to face. And guess what? If you trusted in him, you're going to be right there with me. And so we celebrate your decision today. We rejoice in your decision. We're going to connect with you. We're going to show you in just a minute how you can connect with us. But here's what else I want to say. Many of you guys have known Jesus for a long time. Many of you guys have maybe never questioned the validity of the story of Jesus. And you've been to church all your life. You've been here forever. And you know the story inside and out. Can I just ask you, maybe you need to recommit your life today. Maybe you need to say, Lord, show me your power. I am numb to your goodness. I'm numb to your supernatural work. Show me your power. Make yourself real to me. Do something miraculous that only you can explain or only can be explained by you. Again, some of you need to wake up. You need to realize that you serve a God that is real. You serve a God that changed your life and that wants to change the lives of everybody on this earth. And he's called you to spread that news. And so maybe you're here today and you need to say like Joseph did, Lord, I trust you. Like Mary did, Lord, I don't understand this, but I'm trusting you and I'll do what you tell me to do. Listen, I hope that you'll pray that commitment today. Lord, whatever it is that you want me to do, I trust you. However you want to show your power in my life, I trust you. I can't get through this, but I trust you. I need joy, but even in the heartache, I trust you. I hope that you'll make that commitment today. Lord, I come to you right now, and I thank you for the Christmas story. I thank you that it's true. I thank you that we can trust it with all our heart. And I thank you, though it doesn't make sense, though it's unreasonable, it's so supernatural. And so, Lord, we thank you that it isn't a tall tale. It is a true story. And we worship you and we praise you because you sent your son to this earth on our behalf so that we could have a relationship with you. And so, Lord, we praise you and we thank you. It's in your holy name I pray. Amen.
Thanks for joining us at Thousand Hills. We pray your life was changed by what you heard. If you've made a commitment today, contact us at 580-216-6427. Or check out our website at thousandhillsranch.church where you can give your tithes. Thank you again and have a great week.